this quartet is, it's hard to quickly coalesce a statement that can begin to understand certainly the impact on my life and all of our lives for that matter. I think it was very a crucial axis in all four of our lives, actually. We were sort of like a family for a period of time there, and some of the nights you just come through these experiences of performing this music, and I can't even begin to describe what it's like to have such powerful synergy going on night after night. And Anthony's music was a tremendous vehicle for all of our diversity of thinking, our ways of looking at music, our discussions about music, our arguments about music. We had a wonderful time, a very, very interesting dialogue, and it shows in the pieces of music that you hear. And I think the experiences of this music were compelling. People continue to this day to tell me about particularly this performance and others that they experienced at different times. And I recommend the recordings when you can find them. A lot of them are now currently unavailable, but they'll hopefully come back. And hopefully this one will eventually get released. There was discussion of it at one time, but it hasn't yet surfaced in a form, published form yet. Concurrent with the Anthony Braxton Quartet, which I was touring with quite regularly in the late 1980s and 1990s in particular. I was very busy with the quartet. At the same time, at the beginning of the 90s in particular, my own quintet was beginning to become more and more a big piece of what I presented. So every year I wrote a new book of music for this quintet and ventured out onto the road for at least a minimum of 2 weeks and sometimes more with this formation, which changed in a few times and then settled into one group, kind of like the quartet did. And that group that it settled into included Michael Moore, who is an American expatriate living in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam. And Michael's a multi-reed player, clarinet, bass clarinet, and alto saxophone. He, in other words, adopted the role of the previously heard David Mott, who played baritone. So he became the reedist in the group. The trombonist, who was originally Ray Anderson, and then became of the, that chair got filled by the Dutch trombonist Walter Vierbos, who is, as you will hear, an exceptionally gifted and wonderful player of the trombone. Ernst Reisinger was a key player throughout the entire history of my quintet up until 1998. He was in all versions of the quintet and was a crucial part of the sound and conception of the group. And as well, another crucial player in that group was who you just heard, Mark Dresser on bass. And Mark and I really, in the course of, during the time with Braxton, I think we were both discussing and working ever more deeply on our musical language. These things that we were discussing earlier, like multiple tempos and all kinds of things like that, were big discussions between him and I. And we really worked on these ideas, and they're part of what show up in my own writing in my own quintet, as Mark and I had a very special relationship in terms of how the bass and drums functioned in multiple ways in terms of this music. My quintet, I like to think of it as a kind of a chamber group that can improvise. In a way, everybody in the band had formalistic leanings. That is to say that when we performed these pieces, and the routine for my making of the recordings was this: we would launch into the road after barely enough rehearsal to play all this new music that I had written, and play it night after night after night for a good 2 weeks. And towards the end of that period, we would get some kind of radio recording or some situation where it was documented. And that would become the basis of the next recording. So what you're hearing is almost always a live recording. Very rarely was it recorded without an audience. Sometimes we had a chance to record before the audience came in some of the material, and then we did it again in performance. These things were edited together later. But this, what you're hearing right now, is a live performance of one of my works. And this particular work From 1993. I'll have to double check the date on when it was released. It's called The Marmalade King. Now, The Marmalade King, actually 1994, I remember. The Marmalade King, the title is my fantasy on a children's book title. And all of the titles of the individual works of the pieces begin as the beginning of a sentence of a story you might tell a child. And the reason was I had a two-year-old at the time, and or where this came from, let's put it that way. It's not really the reason. But where it came from was my engagement with reading stories to my then two-year-old son. And I had a very interesting observation, which was that as you read to, I don't know if it's happened to other parents, perhaps it has, so some of you out there might relate to this story. But as I would read a story, you know, which has all kinds of pictures for the for your child to look at while you're reading, they're busy with the pictures, looking at the picture. And in a way, the story that you tell, they have kind of like making their own stories at the same time. And that notion of experience, of shared experience together, was at the heart of the way I thought about the making of this music. So I offer a titles that propose a narrative of some sort without completing it, with the notion that the music is completing the narrative. So this one's called, mind you, they've been the titles sort of follow a sequence like chapters. And so this one is called, As the Stars Faded and Dawn Began, Nothing Quite Looked the Same, .. And so you have to, carries on from there. And we're going to settle into the piece at around the time that the composed material kicks in. And this is the biggest notable feature of this work is a feature for the saxophonist Michael Moore. I hope that those of you out there can take a seat and have a listen to this, I think, rather extraordinary piece of musical invention by Michael Moore, who is maybe one of the unsung heroes of melodic improvising. He is a tremendous linear player, among other great talents that he has, and with a sound and a conception, and he really does tell a story when he plays. So I think you will enjoy this performance. Again, from The Marmalade King, As the Stars Faded and Dawn Began, Nothing Quite Looked the Same, again featuring Aaron Streisinger on cello, Walter Virbos on trombone, Michael Moore on alto saxophone and clarinets, and Walter Virbos on trombone.